Rasmia Odeh is a Palestinian-American community leader and director of the Arab Women's Committee, where she works to transform women's lives with a base of 600 Arab immigrant and refugee women. She is a community organizer and has been active in coalitions related to immigrant, gender, and racial justice struggles. She is currently out on bail, awaiting her appeal in September. In the Arab world and its diaspora, she has inspired women's struggles for decades as the first Arab woman to speak publicly about her story of sexual assault in an Israeli prison. Rasmia Odeh, everyone.
Thank you all so much for being here today. It warms my heart that I again get to share the stage with the incredible activist and scholar Angela Davis. I can't tell you how proud and grateful I am that she made time out of her busy schedule to come here to Chicago for one day to stand publicly in support of my defense. Her and your support gives me important strength and resilience to fight for justice, because we all have the same struggle. When Ferguson police killed the 18-year-old Michael Brown last year, on August 9th, the people of Ferguson rose up and were subjected to military-style crackdown by local police department dressed like compact soldiers. According to the Electronic Intifada, this prompted residents to liken the condition on the ground to the Israeli military occupation of Palestine. I'm a Palestinian woman. I was born and grew up in a war zone under Israeli illegal colonial military occupation and its oppressive and racist practices. The Israelis committed massacres and expelled us from our homes and lands at gunpoint in 1947 and 1948. My family lost all our land and property. All the children of thousands of Palestinian families grew up thinking that we were all going back to our houses within days. When the danger was gone, but here we are, still waiting to go home. This reality has affected all of our lives. In 1967, Israel took the rest of Palestine, the military occupation of the West Bank and Jerusalem, and of course, the continued siege of Gaza terrorizes Palestinians. Israeli soldiers stationed in Gaza during the recent assault finally admitted what Palestinians have known for decades. The military deliberately targets civilians. The military checkpoints and apartheid wall destroy the land, prevent the unity of families, and keep children from making it to school and patients from reaching health center and hospitals. Palestinian women especially suffer greatly as a result of these practices. They are sometimes forced to give birth at checkpoints in sight of Israeli soldiers, some losing their babies or their lives in childbirth. In addition, Israel now holds close 6,000 Palestinians as political prisoners. 40 of these are women, including some who are pregnant, and 200 are children as young as 11 years old. Palestinian and Israeli human rights organizations both report that torture and sexual violence is still used against the prisoners, as well as collective punishment like the demolition of the homes of the arrested. The violation against Palestinians inside Israel are also brutal. Netanyahu's coalition is the most racist and right-wing government Israel has ever had, which is an incredible feat. Many parliament and cabinet members have no problem making open racist and hateful remarks about Palestinian Arabs. But even more dangerous laws are in place and new ones are being proposed that make structural and institutional racism legal against Palestinians in Israel. This is the real face of Israel. Year after year, negotiations has been a huge failure because Israel continuously demands recognition as an exclusive Jewish state, which goes against equality and democracy, against our rights of return, self-determination, and independence. These are rights that cannot be negotiated and that we will never give up. I'm sure that my description of Israel and its policies sound very similar to what blacks and Latino, as well as native and other oppressed nationality people in this country have struggled against for centuries. Palestinians clearly recognize the similarities. We know the anger, the outrage, and the motivation to rise up against racist law enforcement policies that push our communities to the margin of humanity. The police crimes against black people in the US are almost identical to what we experience in Palestine from the Israelis, legislators, courts, TV, and cultural personalities, businesses, education, and civic leaders, law enforcement, military, every aspect of Israel and USA society criminalizes and dehumanizes Palestinians and black people. It devastates us to learn of hate, crimes motivated by racism in this country, like the Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church shooting in South Carolina that killed 9 black people. And what that reminded us to strongly of Birmingham, Little Rock, and burning crosses, or the 3 Arab American Muslim young people killed in North Carolina a few months back. These crimes reflect the extreme hate that some of this country have for African Americans, Latino, Arabs, Muslim, and others. But the hate is not just from individuals. It's encouraged and supported in many political and media circles that make us out into uncivilized criminals to support their political agendas and are indirectly responsible for the racist attack against us. We also hear of and see every day the institutionalized police violence that kills beautiful young souls like Michael Brown in Ferguson, Tamir Rice in Cleveland, Eric Garner in New York, Rikia Boyd here in Chicago, Freddie Gray in Baltimore, and so many other mostly black people in the U.S. I agree fully with my friend Frank Champion. We need civilian police accountability council here in Chicago because because police attacks in this country and in this city are having a devastating social, economic, cultural, and psychological effect on millions of black and other families. African Palestinians are an essential part of our liberation struggle back home. And I had read about the black liberation struggle in this country during the time in which my political consciousness was being raised in the 60th and 70th. But there's difference between understanding and analyzing movement intellectually and experiencing it firsthand, like I have in the past few years, watching many of the organizations sponsoring this event here today mobilizes tens of thousands against police crimes and for black liberation. As you know all now, I was raped and brutally tortured by the Israeli into a confession in 1969 and then convicted in an unlawful military court in 1970. I lived the difficult life of a political prisoner for 10 years in Israeli jail. Last year, the U.S. government used that wrongful conviction 44 years ago in Palestine to convict me here, alleging that I tried on my immigration document. I spent almost 5 weeks incarcerated in Michigan, three of those weeks in solitary confinement. That experiences in the Michigan jail helped me better understand that the racism that incarcerated people face, the dehumanization, that fact that so many are jailed for nonviolent crimes, the poverty, the refusal of the U.S. government to understand the socio-economic and psychological condition that are the cause of the vast majority of alleged crime in this country. I now more fully understand the prison industrial complex that Sister Angela Davis so eloquently talks and writes about, and the reason she discusses the need for the abolition of prisons and not simply reform. The U.S. media and government had already portrayed me as a criminal and a terrorist when I walked into the jail. And I had to explain myself to the other woman in prison. But it was not difficult for us to understand each other from the first day in jail. I realized that we all had similar experiences where the administration would tell us horrible stories about new women who were coming in, but these were lies and they were trying to divide and conquer us. The prison administration also told that the other women prisoners might attack me and that I need protection, but that was a lie as well. This is why we talk about joint struggle and our responsibility to support the struggle of the oppressed in this country, in Palestine, and all over the world. We Palestinians stand in unqualified solidarity with the brave black communities who are rising up against every instance of vicious police violence against them in this country. The United States Palestinian Community Network, USPCN, and organizations I helped co-found has a great statement describing what it means to be a principal ally. It's on the table in the hallway outside. Anyone can take that. In addition, we support all efforts for police accountability and to end racial profiling. That's why we are endorsing the campaign to establish a civilian police accountability council. Why we are supporting We Charge Genocide's challenge to the stop and frisk policies of the Chicago Police Department. And why my organization, the Arab American Action Network, will soon be launching a young-led campaign to stop repression and profiling against Arab and Muslim as well. We stand for social justice and liberation in this country, the same way my people have dedicated their lives to the liberation of Palestine, the struggle of the Black liberation movement in this country, and anti-colonial struggles in Africa, Latin America, and Asia have always been inspiration to us. We continue to find inspiration and strength for those struggles and today's, and we recognize that Black liberation in this country will lead to liberation for all. Before I finish, I would like to thank you, Angela, for your unlimited support. You gave me important strength. You helped get me out of jail. And now we will continue to organize to win the appeal of my conviction. To the young people in the crowd, you are leading us and providing oxygen that our communities need to breathe. Combine your assets with the wisdom of the older generation represented by people like Frank Chapman. In his 70s and still grassroots organizers, with the experiences of your allies and with other communities, to ensure that you achieve the dreams and goals that belong to you and to all of us. And lastly, I want to thank all of you here on a Sunday afternoon and all the organizers and volunteers. Your support and commitment means everything to me. Thank you, and I wish you all the very best. Thank you.